There are many voices in the world around us, but there is only one true voice, and that is God's voice. That's the true voice. Romans 10:9-10 states that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When people hear the word of God preached, it straightens out their thinking and shows them that they are lost. They realize that they cannot save themselves. They cannot make themselves righteous. They cannot redeem themselves. But God sent his Son to this world and condemned sin in the flesh. God made salvation available to us through Jesus Christ. That's just a fact. But until the sinner hears that, until someone comes along and preaches that fact to them, they don't have anything to base salvation on. They don't even know they're lost. But this revelation, word from God, makes them realize they're sinners, that they need salvation. But God took care of the problem of being a sinner. He made a way for you to be righteous. There's no way you can make yourself righteous. So when God says that for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, it is the way for you to be free from the sin consciousness. So now you can be righteous conscious. And that is good news to the sinner who's got very much a lot of things on their conscience. And so to be righteous conscious clears the way for every prayer. It's not just the prayer of salvation, but the prayer of any prayer that you need to pray. But isn't that good news? That's good news to the lost person. That's such good news that if you will believe it in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and to tell the sinner, we got to tell the lost, you know, God raised Jesus up so you wouldn't have to go to hell. There is a real heaven. There is a real hell. You might have to say a few more things, but the bottom line is God made a way for you to go to heaven. God made a way for you to be righteous. God made a way for you not to be lost anymore. And if you'll just believe that in your heart and confess that with your mouth, you'll get saved. You'll get born again. Isn't that good news? And surely they've never heard that. And they go, oh, wow. You mean if I just believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, then I can go to heaven. I'll be born again. That's what the word says. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he so loved the world. I mean, he loves the world. He loves every single human being, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, totally to everyone. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Everlasting life is available to anyone. They just have to choose to be the whosoever. But the sinner has to hear those words. The words that God spoke, this is God talking. This is God talking to the world. God sent his only begotten Son to speak to the world. So now we've got the message out there. Now we're commissioned as believers to share that message with the sinner. And all the sinner has to do now is to hear that voice of God's word in their head and get their thinking straightened out. So when they start thinking about, you sowed the seed, you sow a seed of truth into the sinner's mind. And you let those seed do the work. You let that word do the work on their mind. You let that word get down and pray over that word that you send to them. And Lord, just convict them of sin. Let the word of God do its job. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It'll straighten a person out completely. And it'll bring conviction to the sinner. I don't know any sinner that's heard that and cannot sleep good at night thinking, well, maybe I won't make it in. Maybe I won't make it to heaven. Especially if you've got people praying. How's it go? Paul watered, or Paul sowed, but Paulus watered, and God gave the increase, right? God will increase that. He'll make the increase, and that he will send the Holy Spirit to convict that person and draw and woo that person to himself. He's out to win every. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. He's everywhere at all times, present to move on hearts and lives. He wants those people saved. He wants people saved. Now, what happens after they get saved? Do they just, okay, I'm saved. a lot of times that's what happens. They just get saved and then they struggle and they just think, well, you just go up the rough side of the mountain now from here on out. It's going to be the rough side of the mountain from here on out. Just make it the best way you can, brother. Hang on. Just hang on till Jesus comes. You got a whole bunch of people that's right now waiting on Jesus to come, and that's their way of out. That's their hatch. That's their escape hatch. That's their way out. They don't want to do nothing else now. They're saved. They're just waiting on Jesus to come. They don't have any plans to grow in the things of God, to learn how to walk by faith. They have no plans to do anything but just to hold out till Jesus comes or until they die. That's kind of the plan. That's their plan. That's their escape route. That's their escape plan. I know a lot of Christians like that. They're born again, but they have no purpose. They don't know who they are in Christ. They know they're born again. They accepted Jesus in their heart as their Savior. They believed in their heart and they confessed with their mouth. And it says they shall be saved, and that's the truth. But what do you do after that? What do you do after that? There's a whole lot to do. There's a whole lot to do. And the quality of your life depends on what you do with the Word of God from here on out. But it's the same work. It works the same, no matter what the word is. Now, 14:7 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I would like to break this down as simple as I can. This is not just talking about getting born again. This scripture right here is just not confined to the sinner. This scripture is not just confined to the ones who accepted Jesus and are born again now. And bless God, that is wonderful. But that's not confined to them. Who's going to believe the report of the Lord? Who's going to believe the report of the Lord? Ever heard that said? Who's going to believe the report? It's in Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Who's going to believe the report? What does the report say? Most people don't even know what the report even says. They don't know the report. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. He laid the iniquity of us all upon Jesus. And with his stripes, we were healed. Who's going to believe that report? You see, it's not just the report of that you need to get born again. You're a sinner, you're unrighteous, and you'll not make it into heaven. And you need to be born again and be made righteous so you can approach the throne of God. It's not just about being born again and being made righteous, which is the first step into the kingdom. But then it's like, what do you do after you get into the kingdom? Just hang on till Jesus comes. Make it the best way you can. Struggle, claw, scratch, cry, plead, beg. Do anything you can to get through. Be depressed. Take a pill. Some are closet drinkers. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Christians that are closet drinkers. They get drunk every night because they can't deal with nothing. They don't know how to walk in the joy of the Lord. They don't know how to walk in peace. They don't know how to speak to their mountains. They don't know how to do much of anything except cry and bawl and squall and complain every day. Am I talking to anybody? I've been there. I've done it myself many times. And if I'm not careful, I find myself doing it again. But who's believing the report? Who's going to believe the report of the Lord? Here's what he says. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you've got to first hear the word preached before you can ever believe it. Because what happens when you hear the word preached? Whatever the word is you hear preached, it starts making you think differently. You start thinking like what God wants you to think like. You start believing it, and then you start talking it. It begins just like it says in Romans 10:9-10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's read the next part here. When a person begins thinking in line with the word of God and believes what the Bible says and begins to confess with their own mouth what the Bible says, it creates a reality of that salvation truth in their heart. When it becomes a reality within the heart, it becomes no longer a legal fact, but a living, vital fact. When the word becomes a living, vital fact in the heart of man, the word living in the heart as a reality creates an urgency and a necessity to take a stand upon that fact. The Lord just gave me that this morning. Because I have some vital realities of God's word in my heart now that I had just for a long time lodged up in here swimming around in my head. But I kept speaking the word and I kept confessing the word until it became a living part of me, a vital part of my heart. And when you have the word in your heart, that's when you believe from your heart and you confess with your mouth. That's when it becomes explosive, dynamite, TNT, power is released out of your human spirit. It is as if God said it himself. Because he backs up every single word he's ever said. He's watching over his word to perform it. We have a great high priest that is set in the heavens. And he's watching over everything you say. He won't let you be embarrassed for representing him. He won't. He will not let you fall down and say, well, I'm just representing Jesus here. How come it didn't happen? He's not going to let you do that if you really believe in it in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Who's going to believe the report of the Lord? Now, can I go back up to Romans 14? And I want to talk a little bit more about that. Romans 14:17 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? I believe that we can know Jesus as our Savior, but not know Jesus as our healer. We can know Jesus as our Savior and not know Jesus as our comforter. We can know Jesus as our Savior, yes, and not know him as our provider. There are 7 redemptive names of God. And it's important that we learn all those names and aspects of God. He is El Shaddai, the many-breasted one. He is the God who is more than enough. Jesus saw the multitudes. He says, I will not send them away fasting. That's the heart of God. We do not know our God like we really should. Who's going to believe the report? But how can you believe a report if you don't even hear the report? I'm here to give you a report that I serve a good God. I serve a wonderful God. I serve a God who's more than enough. I serve a God who's well able to take care of me. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He was persuaded where? In his head? No, in his heart. In his heart. I'm persuaded. There's some things you won't move me off of because I believe it in my heart. I got it out of here. Took a little while. Some things took a little while to get from here. But I got it into here. But I kept confessing and I kept believing and I kept confessing and I kept believing until finally it became a part of my being. Who believes the report of the Lord? But how can you know if no one tells you? You sit in a church where they just tell you about getting saved. Well, you're not going to know more than just about getting saved and going to heaven. And make it the best way you can, brothers and sisters. I've been in churches I feel so heartbroken over because I've been invited. I was invited to pray and a minister in a church. I was never asked back because they're at the altar bawling. And I wasn't talking. Now, if there was a sinner bawling and crying, that'd be different. But I'm talking Christians were up there crying and squalling and bawling. And I wanted to yank them up off that altar. And I did one girl. I said, what are you crying about? I mean, all she was doing is crying. She wasn't praying any words. She had no word to believe. She wanted a baby. She had no word to believe for a baby. She had no word to believe for that. There's another one praying for something else, money or something. I said, were you just crying? You're just crying, just to be crying and begging God. Oh, God, help us, help us. God, help us is not going to get answered. You got to have something you believe for in your heart. You have to believe it as a living, vital part of your life. Now you're hearing a word. God is sending you a word today. How can they hear? It says, chapter 14 of Romans. And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Now, there's no excuse. You guys have heard. You've heard the good report that Jesus is not just your deliverer from sin, but he's also your savior from oppression. He's also your savior when there comes to money matters. He's also your savior in physical situations. He's your savior. See, you're hearing a good report here today. You're hearing the word preached. I'm throwing you a lifeline is what God is using me to do. And it's up to you to take it and do something with it. Look at Mark 11:12. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it. I'm hanging out with Jesus. Okay, let's just pretend we're Peter, James, and John traveling, walking along. And all of a sudden, he walks over to a tree and answers it. It says he answered it. I mean, you don't just answer something unless it talks to you first, right? So he's answering a tree. See, we don't have an answer to things that talk to us. We don't know how to answer things that talk to us. Jesus knew how to answer every single situation in his life. And he's just talking to a tree. But look what Jesus said. Jesus was just being Jesus, by the way. Sometimes we just, when we learn to say and talk the way we are supposed to say and talk and believe like we're supposed to, we'll just go around being ourselves. And it'll be a little odd to other people. I'm sure they thought this was a little odd. Talking to a tree? He's answering a tree. Looked like a nice healthy tree to me. Plenty of leaves on it. So, you know, I'm sure they're wondering, what is he doing now? What's he doing now? And he says to the tree, and look at, he didn't say, I curse you at the roots in the name of Jesus. He didn't say that, did he? Very calmly, I believe, he spoke authoritatively to the tree, and he says, no man eat fruit of you hereafter forever. He released a word, and he spoke a word to the tree. I've learned to speak God's word to things. I mean, totally knowing they heard me. It's one thing to speak a word to something you don't really think is listening. But when you know your word is being heard and it's effectively being heard and it's going to produce whatever you say, that's huge. That's huge. We don't even know how powerful our words can be. But I tell you what, that tree was withered up the next day. The tree was withered to the root. It was cursed at the root. And Peter recognized this thing was seriously cursed. And so Jesus said this to them. Verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, the tree you cursed is withered away. Now this is what Jesus said. He said, Jesus answering saith unto them, he's talking to them, have faith in God. In the literal translation, he's really saying, have the God kind of faith in your life. Learn how to have faith like God has. Have the same kind of faith God has. Have the God kind of faith. That's a huge difference than just having faith in God, isn't it? For verily I say unto you, this is in red, you noticed. Jesus doesn't lie. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. And I just believe he's up there. There's the tree over there. He's got an opportunity here and an audience to teach his disciples something very powerful. And he says, whosoever shall say to that mountain. You're looking at this tree and marveling at the tree. But I'm going to tell you, guys, if you just say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Are you kidding me? Who's going to believe that report? And how are you going to believe a report you never heard anybody preach? How are you going to believe if nobody sent you to preach it? But see, I know God sent me here to preach that report. He sent me here to preach this word because I've experienced that word in my own life many years. I've been talking to things for years. I've watched mountains leave my life many years, many times. When my family was trying to take my children away from me, I spoke to that mountain. And I'm telling you what, I had a mountain in my face. It doesn't matter. When God is bigger than the mountain, that's the key. You know that God has given you the ability to speak into your life, speak into your mountain. And the good news is you can speak into other people's mountains when they don't know how. You have to teach them how. This is a way of life to me. This is not an option. I don't want to go back to scrapping and struggling and crying at an altar and begging God to do something for a crumb. I didn't like that. But God said, how are they going to know if you don't teach them? How are you going to know what I've said about a situation? You got to put rightly divide the word of God. Now, we cannot know God by our feelings. So many people rely on their emotions, their feelings, their own ideas about God. We just cannot know God by our feelings or by our own way of thinking. His word declares certain truths we must embrace as fact. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord is speaking to us here today. He's wanting you to know. He's just wanting you to know. For as the rain that come down out of heaven and does what it's supposed to do, so his word will come into your life and do what it's supposed to do. It will not be sent and be wasted. It will do what he sent it to do. It will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, and he will increase your seed sown. He is a good God. And he has got a purpose in giving you his word here. He's saying, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We are considered so closely connected to God as his ambassadors in Christ. We're connected to him through the Spirit and the word. And when he gives us an assignment, we can go with all boldness and all confidence that whatever we represent the King. And whatever we say, he sends us to say, it will prosper. He didn't send you to fail. He didn't send me to fail. He didn't send me to do anything that was going to be a failure. God doesn't fail. I can fail. We fail, but God can't fail. His word cannot fail. If you're basing your life on his word, what can happen? Nothing. He's going to prosper it. He's going to prosper it. You can count on God. 100%. 100%. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. This is where the concern is in my life. This is my concern. Things can feel right, look right. You can ponder it in your mind. I said, Lord, don't let me be deceived. We can deceive our own selves, and we can have wrong thinking and be so wrong and create wrong problems for ourselves. I've done it. Thinking I was right. See, my thinking was all messed up. You know, if I do this, or if I marry this one, or if I do that, this will make it better, and I'll figure it out, and I got faith to help them, and all that kind of crazy stuff. My thinking was wrong. I should have been hearing from God, is what I should have been, and listening, and really listening to God, and really obeying God's word, getting a word for myself. For every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Now, this is what I've written. If a man prays apart from the word of God, he will not get anywhere. That's a sobering thought. How many prayers are prayed and ain't going nowhere? Lots of prayers. When our thinking is made right, then our believing will be right, then our confession will be right, and it will be easier to take a stand and stay put. It is when you believe the word of God from your heart that you can effectively present his word back to him. You are assured of the answer every time because you have prayed according to the will of God, and you know that. You know you have it. You just know you got it. You know, when I don't get a note of victory, I just pray until I do. Because I don't believe in, I just believe that we're supposed to know that we got it before we get up. We got to know. We got to, the old timers called it praying through. Did you pray through, brother? Did you pray through, sister? I appreciate the old timers. You know it? I mean, ain't very many old timers around anymore. I guess I'm the old timer now. We're the old timers now. Okay, Jesus said, Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And did he say you might have them? You shall have them. This is the key to walking a successful Christian life. Someone might say, this sounds too easy. Living the God kind of life would be easy if we were in heaven. But we're still on earth, and there are many obstacles to overcome. That just came to me this morning. I said, you know what? It sounds so good. How come it's so hard? Doesn't it just sound so easy to do all this? To speak to mountains? Well, if it's so easy, why isn't everybody doing it? Because it isn't easy. And they don't believe it. They don't. They don't. And you know, I heard, I think it was Kenneth Copeland years ago, he said, I'm praying in a praying line, and said, what if somebody dies? And you prayed and you believe. I just keep praying. Just go to the next person. You cannot base your faith on what you see, feel, or hear. You don't know that person might have wanted to die. That you don't. You just, there's a condition in things when it comes to other people. Can I read that again? If a person prays apart, back up here a little bit. If a person prays apart from the word of God, he will not get anywhere. Has anybody ever done that? I have. Pray apart from the word of God. You know what the word says, but you're going to pray it this way anyway. Well, if it's your will. Well, they don't even know. They don't know the will to pray the will. And they certainly don't have it in their heart yet. It's still in their head. If you can just get folks to believe it in their heart, that's when it becomes powerful in your mouth. If you can just really believe that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. We're not trying to get healed. You are the healed of the Lord. You're not trying to get it. You are already healed in the mind of God. You just got to step into that. That is the challenge. That is such a challenge. But it's the same way with anything. I don't care what problem there is in life. Financial situations can be the same way. I mean, until you are out there drowning, you are out there, until you're really out there drowning and going down for the last count, you don't even know until someone sends you the life jacket or the buoy or the rope and pulls you out. When the word becomes your life jacket, when the word becomes your buoy, when the word of God becomes your only source, then you know that it's real. You know that it works. You know that it works. You don't have to get to that point, though. You don't have to get to the point. You can just listen to the preacher and believe. His beliefs report. Change the way you think. Talk right. Start believing the word. Read the word. The word will do a work in your heart. Okay, let me read this again. Someone might say this sounds too easy. Living the God kind of life would be easy if we were in heaven, but we are still on earth and there are many obstacles to overcome. Let's look at some of these obstacles. Number one, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Every one of us has got to deal with this one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. John 1, 2:15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Or you could say, he that believeth the word of God abideth forever. The will and the word are equal. You can't separate God from his word. Number two, wrong thinking. Three, wrong confessions. Works of the flesh. The god of this world system, the devil. Wouldn't it be great? I could be a super Christian if I didn't have to deal with the devil. If he was gone, it'd be so easy to live for God, wouldn't it? Just get rid of him out of the way. Worldly temptations, offenses, past and present. Boy, now that is a huge problem. Huge problem for most folks. They can't walk the God kind of life out because they're still mad at somebody. And I know because I've been there. I've been greatly wronged by people. Greatly wronged. But I recognized one day, I've got a choice. I can either be mad and sad and upset and want to kill that person and want them to be punished for what they did to me, or I can just let it go and totally forgive them and walk the God kind of life. It's my choice. A lot of people cannot let go of offenses. It's a big stumbling block in their life. It's a weight. It's such a hindrance to your faith. Such a problem. I just had to stop on that one a minute. Because Luke 17:1, then said he unto his disciples, here's it in red again, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. The Lord told me that as a very baby Christian. I was reading the Bible and I'm very young and he says, it's impossible but that offenses will come. It's going to happen. Just count on it. And he knew ahead that they were going to try to take my kids. He knew ahead they were going to try to take my house. He knew ahead that they were going to try to do this. He knew ahead I was going to get beaten. He knew ahead a lot of offenses were going to come into my life that I had to forgive. Number eight, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. This is what you do when you've been the victim. When you are the victim, you justify not forgiving. It's easy to do. If you're the victim and you did nothing to deserve that, you did nothing wrong to deserve that mistreatment or being talked to like you were or stolen from or robbed or whatever happened, you got a right to be mad. See, we think we've got rights here. We don't have any rights, not in the kingdom. Kingdom living is not like living on this earth. The kingdom God kind of life says you have to forgive. You have to. And let me show you the verse that I put with this one. Matthew 18:35 says, likewise, so likewise shall my Father, my heavenly Father, do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Owed his master money and he says, pay me all that you owe me, and he begged, please forgive me. You know, he's getting ready to sell his family, his kids, and then he turned around and forgave him, and then he goes out and grabs one of his friends that he owed money to him and made him pay all that he owed him, wouldn't forgive, begged, please forgive me. He said, this is what God will do to you if you don't. You know, that's why a lot of Christians are on Xanaxes. That's why a lot of people are on Xanaxes. That's why a lot of people are on nerve medication and drugs. Not that it's got its place, but it is a root problem. Unforgiveness is a huge problem with people's lives because they're tormented. What happened to those people? They were delivered over to the tormentors. And tormentors are demons. Demons will torment you if you don't forgive people. Did you know that? It's a fact. That's why I just started closing every single door to the devil. Every single door I could close, I didn't want any access to me. And you don't either. You don't either. Generational curses, Exodus 34:7. You can read about that. Generational curses are very, very real. Soul ties are very real. Lies. I don't know why. These all just came to me this morning, and I just typed them out. I said lies. There's some reason that lies, things we believe that are just lies. 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 Big, big hindrance in walking God kind of life. And then number 11, injustice is done to us. Just things that just really should never have ever happened, ever. That's an injustice. Innocent child. Or what's happening over in Iraq. Injustices. You know what? Only the blood of Jesus can deliver people from some of these things. Leave it and think right and act on it. Now, Matthew 22:24. So for many are called, but few are chosen. You ever think about that? I read that one time and I remember thinking, God, what does that mean? Many are called. Jesus said this. For many are called, but few are chosen. You can get in Matthew 22 and study that. But Jesus made that statement. Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, that just sounds like God's just picking and choosing who's going to heaven. That just sounds to me like God's showing favoritism. That just sounds to me like you're just being unfair, God, here. You're just being unjust and unfair here, God. It upset me when I read that. And you know what he shared? You know any revelation he gave me about that verse? It really has to do with you choosing to be chosen. You have to step up in your life and say, I am a chosen one. God so loved the world he gave whosoever. See, you got to be a whosoever, and you got to choose to be a chosen one. Many are called. Everybody's called, but few choose to be chosen. That's what the Lord told me. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord told me about that. Told me that plain as day. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's the chosen, that's the whosoever, the one who chooses to be a chosen. And the same thing goes for anything in the Word. If you read a scripture and it just doesn't fit your religious thinking, and you kick out the Word rather than your religious thinking, shame on you. You just chose not to be a chosen one in that area of that Word. Do you understand? Religious thinking has crippled many a Christian from walking the God kind of life, the faith life, because they didn't choose to be a chosen one in that verse. That's my verse. That's mine. I see my name on that one. 7:14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, or few that be that accept it or walk in it. Because it's easier to walk the broad way and go through the wide gate and just live any old way and believe any old thing the devil brings you and to walk after your flesh. It's just easier. No, there's no falling off the edge. Hebrews 4:14, seeing then, here's some good news. Seeing then, I used to highlight that word, underline it, seeing then. Seeing then, are you a chosen one that sees this? You know, the Lord let me know. He said, you can say, you do see then. I said, yes, I see then. I'm a seeing one. I can see this. I'm alive unto God. I have a revelation word of God. I can see it with my spiritual eyes. I believe it with my spirit. I confess it with my mouth. I can see then that I have a great high priest. This is personal to me. I have a great high priest that has passed into heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. Let me hold fast my profession or my confession. For I have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of my infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like I am, yet without sin. Let me therefore come boldly. Just get out of the way, devil. I'm going to be bold with God. I'm going to be bold with his word. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to speak to my mountain. I'm going to call those things that are not as though they are, because my Father is backing everything he says through me. Because I see then. I can see it. I'm just trying to get other people to see it. God's trying to get his children to see it. Now let's read it the way that Paul wrote it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed in the into the heavens. Thank you, Jesus. If you still got to get on your knees for 20 minutes and try to figure out where God is, you ain't seeing a great high priest yet. You've got a great high priest who's looking at you. He's watching over his word to perform it. He is the word, by the way. You see? Do you all see this? Seeing then we have a great high priest, let us hold fast. See, that's the key. The key to my walk with God and your walk with God is taking a stand and holding fast. Don't be persuaded over here and swayed over there. What's the say in James? But look what he says in James chapter 1. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How? You can count it all joy when you fall into temptations. Who's the tempter? The devil. The Bible in James it says, let no man, when any man is tempted, don't let him say that he's tempted of God. Because God cannot tempt any man. But when a man is tempted, he's tempted of his own lust and enticed. The devil knows your weaknesses. So anybody's tempted, they're tempted of the devil. But the devil's tempting you because you've got something there he can use to tempt you with. You know? I mean, everybody's got their thing. Everybody. So then he says, knowing this. Here, this is kind of one of those verses, seeing then or knowing this. Seeing then or knowing this, that the trying of your faith works your patience. But let patience have a perfect work. That's a good thing. Let patience have a good... See, that's part of the standing part. That's part of what it says in Hebrews, that we can take a stand. We have a great high priest. Let us hold fast. Take a stand. Hold fast on what you already believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. That patience helps you do that. That's your patience working. I'm going to stand right here. I don't care what you say and what you're screaming at me. I don't care what it looks like. I got some patience going on here. I can wait it out. God's word is never going to fail. Okay. But look what he says now. But let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That being perfect has to do with maturity. Finally growing up in the things of God. In that area of whatever it is you're dealing with. Then it doesn't become a temptation to you anymore. This next verse. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This is good news. I certainly need wisdom, God. And he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. I mean, that means anything. Anything. Your faith is on the line here. Our receiving from God is on the line here. And that's why it's so important to believe in your heart. Think right and believe the word in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Because if you're wavering and waffling and if something comes along and drives you off that confession or takes you off of that stand you've taken because you see that you have a great high priest, this is just the way it works. You're not going to receive it. And he's talking about anything, not just wisdom, but anything works like that. You see, that's the one thing about God is you can just count on him to be himself 100% of the time. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. He can't. He just cannot. Glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've delivered my soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've delivered what you told me to deliver. You laid on my heart this morning, this word. And Father God, it's good for all of us. It's just so good. Your word is good. And your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what you send it to accomplish. It will not return void. So, Father, we have sent forth the word today. We've spoken truth. You said, how can they hear except somebody be sent to speak the truth? So, Father, I'm speaking the word today, and I ask, Father, for fruit from this word. I ask for fruitful vines today. I ask for fruitful congregation. Fruitful believers, fruitful, that they are going to produce fruit and they're going to see the challenge ahead of them in this life to develop their faith and to walk in your word and to know that you're with them in every step of it, that they can be mature and entire, wanting nothing. That the goal is to get to a place where we don't walk around afraid. We don't walk in lack. We walk around wanting nothing. Nothing is a big word, Father. So give us the revelation of wanting nothing. Let it be the goal for our hearts, our lives. And Father, affect our children, our families effectively through our faith. In Jesus' name I pray. I send them forth in peace. I cover them. I call them blessed and prosperous in everything they do. In Jesus' name, amen.